Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in central and western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Long Island School Board elections on Tuesday represented a return to a sense of normalcy, local election observers say, where the majority of wins went to incumbents and candidates endorsed by local teacher unions after quiet campaigns. Craig Schneider reports on Newsday.com that those unions, long a powerhouse in these elections, saw victories for a total of 66 of the 80 candidates they endorsed on Long Island for an 82.5% rate of success, according to a tally by New York State United Teachers, the Federation for Teacher Unions. On our end, it was business as usual, said NYSUT spokesman Ben Amy, noting that statewide results were much the same, with 85% of union-backed candidates winning. Teacher unions have played a large role in school board elections, having big campaign chests and established ways to reach voters, said Michael Dowidziak, a political consultant for more than 40 years based in Bayport, Long Island. Candidates and parents come and go in local school races, usually when their kids graduate from high school. But the unions are a mainstay, he said. Dowidziak said he saw a return to the status quo in another way, less political divisiveness. The great majority of incumbents seeking re-election were victorious, indicating a level of stability on the local boards, said Bob Vecchio, executive director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association. About 7% of challengers to incumbents won, he added. In those areas where a challenger to an incumbent was successful, it was due to local grassroots issues. Across Long Island, 124 districts held votes Tuesday on spending plans totaling a combined $15.2 billion, with property tax levies totaling $9.5 billion. All but two budgets passed, West Hempstead in Nassau County and Waynescott, right here on the East End. Craig Schneider reports on Newsday.com that a district experiencing a budget defeat has the option of revoting on the same budget, revoting on a revised budget, or skipping a revote and adopting a so-called contingency budget that freezes taxes at the previous year's level. The next opportunity for districts to hold a budget vote is June 20th. Voters in Waynescott voted 91-65 Tuesday to okay the budget, giving it an approval rating of 58.33%. But the district needed 60% approval since it wanted to exceed the tax cap levy. Waynescott Superintendent Deborah Hubb said the district had no choice but to ask voters for an additional $1 million due to an influx of new students, including several who required expensive special education. Sag Harbor voters this week rejected a proposition to purchase property adjacent to Pearson Middle High School. The district initially sought to acquire the Marston Street property in a partnership with Southampton Town to build an athletic field, but those plans fell through. The district then sought to acquire the property on its own by asking voters to approve a $6 million bond as well as to use $3.425 million from a capital reserve fund. That was rejected. Sag Harbor School Board President Sandy Krull told Newsday yesterday that district officials plan to take a day or two to digest the vote and then see what options might be available. The land is owned by Pat Trunzo III, who has said he'd develop and sell homes on the land if the district was unable to purchase it in Sag Harbor. The town of Riverhead has become the first Long Island municipality to declare a state of emergency regarding asylum seekers blocking motels and other facilities from accepting New York City migrants, joining nearly a dozen counties statewide. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that an executive order signed Tuesday by Riverhead Town Supervisor Yvette Aguiar contends that an influx of asylum seekers would overwhelm schools and stretch town resources. In a Newsday interview, Aguiar said two hotels in the town and a third location that housed homeless and disabled people in Riverhead expressed interest in signing a one-year contract with the city to accept migrants. South Old Town Supervisor Scott Russell said Aguiar's order is an overreach. supervisors do not have the authority to direct who can come in and go out of each town. And I'm not going to give the public some false illusion that I could do anything about it, said Supervisor Russell. In a statement, a bipartisan group representing Suffolk 10 town supervisors said the migrant crisis is the responsibility of the federal government, and local governments should not be forced to shoulder this burden. Hotel and motel operators in the town of Riverhead said yesterday they are not taking in homeless migrants from New York City and have not been solicited by anyone to do that. Contrary to Riverhead Town Supervisor Yvette Aguiar's statements, including those in her executive order issued Tuesday night, declaring a state of emergency due to the immediate danger of public emergency of hundreds or potentially thousands of persons being transported to the town of Riverhead. As reported on RiverheadLocal.com, Aguiar stated she heard there are three locations in Riverhead that agreed to house the migrants. She said she did not know where the locations were. The source of her information is, according to Riverhead Town Councilmember Tim Hubbard, New York City talk radio commentator Curtis Sliwa. Alec Lewis and Denise Civiletti report on RiverheadLocal.com that representatives of five Riverhead hotels and motels they contacted on Wednesday, including some currently providing emergency housing for Suffolk residents in need, denied being solicited by New York City officials to take in homeless migrants who have recently crossed the nation's southern border. Representatives of three hotels called by Riverhead Local could not be reached and did not return calls. Aguiar's emergency declaration prohibits all businesses operating transient lodging and campgrounds in the town of Riverhead from housing migrants and/or asylum seekers. Now, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone said yesterday that he had not been contacted by the City of New York regarding asylum seekers in Riverhead. Republican Congressman Nick LaLota, who represents Eastern Suffolk in the U.S. House of Representatives, praised the move. Quote, "Thank you to Riverhead Supervisor Aguiar for taking affirmative steps to keep our community safe," LaLota said in an emailed statement to RiverheadLocal.com. "Long Islanders should not have to bear the weight of the mess at the border created by the Biden administration or the sanctuary city policies of New York City," said Congressman LaLota. OLA of Eastern Long Island, a Latino advocacy organization, said in a statement, quote, "It is working to learn the facts regarding whether migrants from New York City are being bused to Riverhead by the Adams administration. What is most troubling is Supervisor Aguiar's jump to declare a state of emergency, which serves only to create alarm, potentially harming any asylum seekers that may arrive on the East End, and further dividing our communities," Minerva Perez, the organization's executive director, said. "OLA will continue to watch the situation closely," end quote. Last week, the New York Civil Liberties Union filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against Rockland and Orange counties on behalf of four migrant clients. The suit argues the orders violate the due process and equal protection clauses of the United States Constitution by restricting the rights of migrants to travel and reside across the state of New York. Populations in Long Island's towns and cities shrank, with the exception of three East End towns. Southold, Southampton, and East Hampton saw very small gains. According to 2022 U.S. Census Bureau estimates released today, and experts say the trend may be linked to Long Island's housing options. While Oyster Bay Town had the biggest percent decrease in population, the town of Islip was close behind. Population declines in Nassau and Suffolk raise concerns about workforce and the ability to meet economic growth, said Marcel Negret, senior planner with the Regional Planning Association, an independent nonprofit civic organization. The group seeks to improve economic health and environmental resiliency. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.